Support for today's edition of News AF comes from Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork in Office 365. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into putting together this podcast, talking about all of the internet's most interesting news stories. Organization is key. And Microsoft Teams is a digital workspace where teams can create, collaborate, and communicate authentically, just like we would in the real world, because there's so much to look after. It would be great if there was just one place to look to organize all of our show sources, and I'm sure for your business too. Teams is that single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with the people in your work life. Teams brings together your chats, your meetings, your files, and your apps all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and for desktop. So whether you're sprinting towards the deadline or sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. Microsoft Teams is available in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn more. Hey, everybody. What's going on? I'm Rob Cesarino, back to talk about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of April 23rd, 2018, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Factual news.
Yes, that's right. Here we are streaming live on Twitch. And for a second, you could hear me talking as I did not turn off the volume on the Twitch page that I was on my laptop.
It was exciting. The mashup.
Yes. Yep, it was nice.
It was all happy. It was a remix. So here we are. If you want to join us.
The remix.
Join us live when we go on Twitch. You can go to twitch.tv/RHAP. I'm going to try to do more and more of the RHAP stuff. And of course, News AF streaming on Twitch. And here we are with our News AF team here on a Monday. First off, a man who probably had an amazing weekend. Let's find out. Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I had an amazing weekend.
How amazing?
Expand.
Well, I played a poker tournament on Friday. Then I played a golf tournament on Saturday. Then I didn't go to church on Sunday.
Did you win any of those things?
How was your weekend?
Okay.
Okay. We'll take that as a no. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why take it as a no, though? Why not just assume the best, that he won both but didn't want to brag?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes a braggart.
Nobody loves a braggart. And then the man who doesn't love anything, Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
The world is dead to me.
Mm-hmm. Filled with hate.
It is. It's a world of darkness and pain.
Yes.
Actually, I got trolled by my 8-year-old.
How?
He said he had a video to show me, and he wanted all day to show it to me, but I was doing other things. No, it was him down here in this room on this chair pretending to be us with his little brother.
Yes.
So what was he doing?
He was making fun of us. So it's a video of him saying, "What's with this lady cooking chicken with a hairdryer? Why doesn't she just go to the Chinese space station?" And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. Are you listening? Like, how is he hearing that?
He mashed up all the stories.
Yeah, and then he's making fun of us. I'm already getting made fun of at 8 years old. I mean, what does that mean for my future? Yeah.
Should we stop podcasting? Is that what you're...
Because 8-year-olds are making fun of us?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. So that hurt a little bit. That hurt.
Was it better than this show?
They didn't have a lot of material. He got mad when I scrolled past the 5 minutes and said, "Yours is way longer, and we listen to yours."
Oh, shots fired.
So, rough weekend. Yeah. Hard to sit in this chair after getting that.
Yeah. And now he's going to hear this, and now the war is going to rage on.
Until it becomes one of those prank, like it goes Logan Paul level prank war.
Yeah.
And he feeds me like a turd sandwich.
a cat poop sandwich.
Yeah. Danny, John in the chat says that he thought you said that you got crawled by your kid and his ears perked up.
I like that. Can we make that a new thing?
Yeah, crawled.
The problem with saying you got crawled is it sounds like someone threw a throwing star at you.
Yeah.
And We don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want that. That's when you get a five-sided ninja star thrown past you by a cyclops. That's when you
gosh,
get crawled.
That'd be terrifying.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's get into our top stories at this hour. And this first story is one that's making national news at this hour and is really quite news AF. There is a woman who was on a Delta flight in these last couple of days, and she received an apple on said flight, which she did not eat. And then the big headline has been that she was then charged $500 for not eating the apple on the plane. And that's how I feel like the story has been reported everywhere that I've seen it. But we here at News AF have done a real deep dive into the story and are ready to talk about all of the details going on. It's actually customs fined her for bringing a agricultural product into this country. Tyson, were you aware of these laws?
They make sense when you say them to me, like, okay, you can't even go into California with agriculture from different states. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that the flight she was on, so this is what essentially happened. She was on a flight from London to the U.S. And on the flight to London, they gave her a little snack bag. On the flight from London, they gave her a little snack bag with an apple in it, which she saved for later. She got randomly searched through customs, and they found the apple in the Delta Airlines bag. And then the TSA agent said, "Was your flight expensive?" And she at first was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Because it just got more expensive.
Oh,
I'm giving you a $500
wow,
ticket."
What a burn.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing to remember is that it's okay to eat a Paris apple in Paris, but when consumed in the U.S., you may die, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That I didn't know that she got burned so bad by the... She should countersue Tyson.
Yeah.
Or counter-burn.
Mm-hmm. Where did they find the apple? Where was she?
Carry on.
But in the U.S., right?
Yes.
Yeah, in the U.S. at customs.
U.S. customs, they went through, yeah. And she didn't declare that she was bringing in something from another country, or
yeah.
She had said
yeah.
sort of like...
That's what I thought. So then,
yeah.
it is infuriating, though, because Delta did give her this apple. They didn't warn you. I mean, I can... And then they didn't let her just eat it or throw it in the trash. Like, I one time was given a gift to give my family from Switzerland, and it was a Swiss Army knife, a gigantic one. And I just cool. put it in my backpack because it was in wrapping paper and everything. Mm-hmm. And I got on the flight in Switzerland, no problem. Like, my bag went through x-rays, nothing. Got into London. You have to go through customs again. And a dude was like, "Do you have a knife in your bag?" I was like, "I don't think so." And he's like, I need to look in your bag. And he found the gift. He's like, "I have to open this." I was like, "Okay, yeah, do whatever you got to do, bro." And he opened it. And he's like, "You can't have this in here." I was like, "I'm so sorry. I forgot that somebody gave me that to give to my family like last minute. I'm so sorry." And he's like, "You can't have knives on the plane." I was like, "No, I am very aware of that rule. Go ahead and take that knife." He's like, "Oh, you think that's it? We just take it and then you're done?" I was like, "Probably." Well, you could be arrested for this. I was like, "Oh, well, that would suck since it was an accident." And he's like, "Well," and he like would not let it go. And I was just like, just either.
You
like,
want to know why he wasn't letting it go? He was trying to come up with a sweet burn like this one.
Yeah.
He was stalling, mentally stalling so he could put it together.
Because I was just like, "Well, can you arrest me?" No, it was a Swiss Army knife. It was like $20. So he was like, I was like, just either arrest me or let me go. One of those two. Don't keep me here trying to let me know the severity of my crimes.
Mm-hmm. And he let you go.
And he did let me go. Yeah.
Or you wouldn't be here today. You'd be rotting away at the tower.
The Tower of London.
Yeah, the tower. I think that's where they put people.
And then I had like a 10-hour layover in London. So I went to try and get out of the airport to go see the city.
Buy knives.
And the customs, whoever lets you out of the airport. Yeah, customs. Was like, "Hey, okay, what address do you have to go to here?" I was like, I don't. I just have a 10-hour layover. I want to go see the palace. And he's like, you can't leave without a contact address. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah. So then I just walked to the agent right next to his and was like, that guy wouldn't let me out because I didn't have an address. I only have like a 10-hour layover. And they're like, oh, yeah, go ahead.
Maybe you have one of those faces that people just instantly don't like.
The interest, no, yeah.
Is that not true?
I mean, I know it's not true, but what if in London, cultural differences, Tyson face is a non-desirable face?
I know I have a face where people ask me for drugs a lot.
So kind of the same thing, actually. Don't want to let you out onto the streets of London because you have a drug face.
Yeah. That could be.
That's a sad story, Tyson.
Well, so listen to this. It gets even worse. Eventually, I get out of the airport. I go to the subway, and the guy selling the tickets to the subway to go to the center of town is like, where are you going? I was like, I just want to go to the most touristy spot to take some pictures for a little while and get some food, and then I'm heading back to the airport. And he's like, well, if you wait 2 hours, tickets on the train are half price because they're not rush hours. Like, well, I don't have that kind of time. He's like, you should wait.
And time I was
like,
poor.
I don't want to. And he would not sell me a ticket because he was convinced that he was doing me a favor by saving me $40 to make me wait 2 hours. So I sat down like, oh, okay, maybe I will do this. And after like 10 minutes, I just went back into the airport and sat around for 10 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Technically, the airport is the most touristy spot.
Yeah.
So you had, true. Yeah, you had one of those things on your list checked off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny, the next time that you are on a international flight, will you make sure to consume every snack that they give you before getting off the plane?
Yeah, maybe it's all a racket. Oh, hey, here's all this food you can eat on the plane. And they fines. Do it in the hopes, right, that they can get hit you at the customs gate.
Oh, so the customs fines. Person is in on it with the person
the airline.
Who's giving out the food on the plane?
Yeah, because the airline's only made a couple $1 billion by charging you to check your bags. And yeah. So they're hoping to make another couple billion by working with the custom agents to screw you over on apples. That right. You try to take across the border.
Right. This is very smart because it's mm-hmm. like $7 to get the snack on the plane, and then yep. it's $500 to get the snack off of the plane.
Off the plane.
And you get the apple back, which you can then put back onto the plane.
Yeah. You're
That's
only,
why
you
they
need
didn't
one
let her
apple.
Eat it. Yeah.
You only need one apple to start this racket, and then from yeah. there you can buy a bag of apples if you
yep.
want.
Yep. One apple can generate millions of dollars.
Danny, I know we're always looking for a deeper meaning in these stories. That do you see any parallels in the plight of this woman on the Delta flight and the story of Adam and Eve?
Yeah, the apple's always been a sinister fruit.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I am kind of allergic to apples, which only proves that they are evil.
The symbol of temptation.
The symbol, exactly. Mm-hmm. What better thing to have as the you know, the money generator for an airline than an apple? Basically, airlines are Satan. Yeah.
Right. And in this analogy, God is the customs agent who said this was the forbidden fruit that you were not to take from
yeah, that's right.
the Garden of Eden, which is, as anybody would tell you, a Delta Airlines flight.
Yeah, so Delta is Satan. They offered you the apple.
The flight attendant.
And customs
yeah.
is yeah, or the flight
serpent.
Attendant.
Take the fruit.
And God is the custom agent with the sweet sick burn when he gets. And by the way, he's done the apple thing so many times that he had that burn prepared.
That's he's why, used it a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's why Tyson's agent didn't. This guy's in a racket, so he's got yeah, he's got this burn. He actually has a list of several he keeps behind the desk. You know, just to freshen things up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is a pretty good racket by Delta and all the other airlines.
Okay. Now, what would be the fine for taking an apple off of a United flight, Tyson?
Oh, you'd definitely get punched in the face a bunch of times.
You know, every time I go to California, I cross the border and they ask me if I have any fruits. And I always say I do. And they never take anything. I don't understand.
Do you actually have
fruits?
There?
Yeah, I always say I have fruit. I don't want to destroy the livelihood of farmers in California by bringing in some
fruit. It's only citrus or something now. It's like before, I remember growing up and they were like, do you have any almonds? Any, like, they went through like a list of like 7 trillion things. And now it's like, do you have citrus? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, let me see it. If it's from California, they let you bring it in. But if it's from Florida or something, they don't. So they look at the sticker, I think.
They don't let anything from Florida inside. Yeah, I had some clementines, I think, last time, and they let me in.
Yeah, don't let anything Florida inside your state.
Or your system. Either one. Either one. Those are important. Okay.
Let's talk about another News AF story going on this week. And this is one that, Tyson, I think that you are going to really be interested in. Preschool has recently decided that they are banning the term best friend from being used at the preschool. I believe this is in a Boston suburb where I am going to go imminently. I can do some research on this, but apparently you are not allowed to have your preschoolers use the term best friend at the Pentucket Workshop Preschool anymore.
Wow. So when you go out there, are you going to try and get in for a day and then call everybody your best friend until you see what happens?
Yeah. I'm going to bring my kids with me and I'm going to have them go undercover and wear a wire and then see what happens.
Okay. A BFF protest.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. This is like, I read this whole story and the school's stance is that it can lead to cliques forming, et cetera, which I don't disagree with. And then the parents of the child's stance that got in trouble for calling someone their best friend is that it can, having a best friend there with you can give you more confidence. I know that I'm willing to go way further sexually if Danny's there, you know, to encourage me.
Yeah, Tyson, you can do it. Yes, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Everyone does it like this. Go ahead.
You're normal. That's normal. That kink is normal. Don't be embarrassed by that.
Danny, do you have thoughts on the best friend debate?
Yeah, I ask my kids every day if I'm their best friend, and they tell me no.
No.
Every single one of them.
And it hurts your feelings.
It does. So I'm all for this.
Even your daughter?
Yeah, she says I'm not her best friend. Her cousin is her best friend.
Wow, because I'm Bergen's best friend.
Yeah, well, that won't be the case forever. I will say that my 5-year-old
challenge accepted.
Who's in preschool, he just had an incident where he thought a girl was his best friend, and it turned out she wasn't, and he was very, very sad. But I figured it was just a good learning lesson because that's going to be life.
Like, was that Ollie?
Yeah.
Ollie, yeah. So it's just good. Learn those lessons early.
No, that's
and
a good point.
He's such
point,
a happy
Danny.
Kid, so that's really... It's always sad to see a really happy kid get hurt. Like a sad kid who's always sad, you're just like, well, you were sad already. But like a really happy kid who smiles all the time.
Yeah.
Like for his first life lesson where he's like, not everything is happy. Man.
Yeah. What are we protecting the kids from? Is there anybody that's a
exclusion.
Poorly adjusted adult and says, you know, everything was great up until preschool. And then I found out that Billy had a different best friend and it was all downhill from there.
Yeah. I think that's Justin Bieber's background, actually.
Also, the term kids don't believe in one best friend either. So just by calling someone your best friend, I've noticed it with my kids. They have multiple best friends, and I tell them that that's not allowed.
Thousands of best friends.
Kids, only one best friend.
They barely know that they say, my kids,
Daddy's,
this guy is my best friend. I'm like, who?
Yeah, exactly.
So when your kids are coming home and saying they have 10 best friends, you're the one that's actually being exclusive by saying, no, you can only have one best friend.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, listen to me clearly. By giving a person a best friend status, you are excluding all others from that title. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't understand this. Go sit in your room and think about what I've told you for the next 5 hours. That's how I handle that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good. And then they can be more exclusive with the people they're hanging out with.
Exactly.
Good.
Tyson, do we need to replace the term best friend with a more politically correct term for best friend?
Person of interest.
Person of interest. This is my person of interest. Is that
POI?
Right? POI?
Poi. I think... Yeah, I mean, if I were really sharp this morning, I feel like I could come up with something hilarious. But maybe just call every one of your friends best friend.
How about favorite associate?
Favorite associate. Yeah, you could do that. That's super friend.
No. Super friend.
Well, then that's because then again, you are. Well, why is this person a super friend? Am I a super friend? Everybody can't be a friend. I think you may have to just drop best and this is my friend. But then aren't your enemies going to be offended, Danny?
Yeah, maybe we should just use emojis because they can be interpreted slightly different ways. So if you're like, you're my smiley face, then that's such a confusing designation. Nobody's feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that person's my smiley face.
But here's the thing, too, is when someone calls you, like when Danny, like I'll get a text from Danny at 2 or 3 in the morning that's just like, hey, just a reminder, you're my best friend. And I'm like, that makes me feel good. Like, oh,
but
thank you.
But that doesn't make me feel good.
I know. What about the follow-up text that then says, don't tell Rob?
Oh, yes. Oh, I usually am back asleep by that. But that brings it to average, right? Yeah. So it's the same.
Maybe we should use, actually Tyson's got a great idea. Why don't we use best friends so much that it becomes meaningless?
Yeah, it's like saying I love you. If you say that to every single person you ever come in contact with, then it A, becomes easier to say to anybody, and B, becomes less of a thing.
Yeah. And C, you'll always have a seat to yourself on the bus.
Yeah, I love you.
Now, Danny, I have to get off now.
How do we tell the preschoolers that they are not allowed to use the term best friend anymore?
I think they should bring me in as a best friend consultant.
Let's have all the parents bring your preschoolers to.
And are you going to yell and shake them?
Yeah, of course. Shaking is the best strategy.
Let's bring them to the screen right now. So hopefully they have a couple of minutes of screen time that they can use. Danny is going to address your kids about the unpolitically correct term best friends.
Listen, kids, life is an unhappy place. And I want to delay that unhappiness as long as possible for all of you. So what we're going to do is eliminate the term best friend. How many in this room have used the term best friend? Okay, from here on out, if you use the best friend, your best friend will be this belt.
Oh, Danny.
Wow. Well, the 1800s.
Back to the 50s, right?
Yeah.
Because this belt hurts as bad as your words best friend hurt those who are not your best friend. So in order for everyone to be happy until that moment when they all have to be unhappy, we are going to avoid the use of the term best friend. And I'll be sitting in this corner on that chair in this poorly lit corner looking menacingly. Thank you, Tyson. With this belt. And I'll be waiting patiently for one of you to trip up and call someone your best friend.
That wasn't where I thought Danny was going to go with this, Tyson.
But did that work? Are you going to use it now?
I would have been like, listen up, you little turds.
I would have done that, but I decided to go the other way, where they think I'm being loving and caring, but secretly the message is very dark.
Very menacing.
Like he's talking to me he's talking to me like a loving parent, but he's also terrifying.
Yeah. John Tinkham on the Twitch chat says, whenever I watch this show at work, I tell all my coworkers I'm watching my best friends do their podcast. Is that
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, anybody who refers to us as their best friends, that's fine.
We agree with that.
But don't refer to anybody excluding us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, just to be clear on my position, I think that everyone should be allowed to call other people their best friends.
Yeah. Tyson, should people do it like Boston Rob and just include everybody as the best friends? Like it's just three best friends doing a podcast right now?
Yeah. Yeah, just three best friends doing a podcast. You mean rather than like two best friends and Tyson? I'm like, wait, what?
Right. Include everybody. Everybody's yeah. best friends.
Hello. Welcome to the Two Best Friends and Tyson podcast.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Rob Sesternino, with my best friend, Danny, and Tyson.
Will today be the day Tyson breaks through that best friend ceiling and becomes our best friend? Probably not, but stay tuned.
Yeah, find out later on in the show. Keep coming back. It's a cliffhanger. Okay. This is a really some groundbreaking research that has been done. This is a fascinating study. And this is a study that says about how, you know, people have always been told, oh, the good-looking people get all the breaks. I've been told that my whole life, every time I've met resistance, it comes up again and again and again. But a new study, research is showing that perhaps ugly people make more money, Tyson.
Dude, I love this study because if you read it, it says not just the ugly. You have to be super ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're super attractive, there are some benefits. If you're attractive, there are some benefits. If you're average, there's no benefits.
You're hosed.
If you're ugly, there's no benefits. But if you are super unattractive, you are set up to make the most amount of money.
Yeah, because you're not distracted by things like best friends.
That's
you don't
their
have
exact
any
point.
So you are free
exact
to do,
point. Yeah,
you are free to do lots of things and work super hard and become successful. Plus you have spite on your side, right? All those yeah. good looking people grouped up together doing blow. It's like, I'm in the ugly corner. I'm going to get super rich and buy their company and fire them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I know I'm not as pretty as I was 10 years ago. So I was kind of like bummed about it. But now I'm like, if I just digress a little bit further, mm-hmm. maybe I too. Yeah.
And your earnings will continue to go up and up and up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is the details of the study. This is experts from the London School of Economics and UMass.
Did anybody check to see if that's a real. A real university?
Well, we're going to look into it. Okay. So they found out that there is a caveat to the beauty premium. They found out that 20,000 young Americans, they rated their attractiveness at 16 and three more times over the next 13 years till wow. when they were 29. They found out that people who were extroverted, conscientious, and less neurotic made more money than others. But they also found that very unattractive participants made more money than those who were just unattractive. So it's
that's
not
what I'm
just
saying.
People who are unattractive. If you are very unattractive, Danny, there is money in that.
Like the people that you see walking down the street with, let's say you're with your best friend and you're like, check that person
right.
out.
Right. My whole life, I was struggling to get from very unattractive to unattractive, but I've been trying to go the wrong way, Danny.
Yeah, so what are you going to
start making
to do
less money
to make yourself look less handsome,
Rob? I really
got to
let myself go if I want to cash in.
Dude, Danny, have you seen Rob with his shirt off since he's been doing the morning workouts?
No. Is he very unattractive?
No, he's not. He's getting ripped.
Yeah, it's going the wrong way then.
I was trying to go from very unattractive to unattractive. I should have been letting myself go even further.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Rob. Maybe you and I can build up to supermodel status, and that's where the real money's at.
So does this mean the Ink Man should be a millionaire?
Yes.
Remember the guy who covered himself in
ink on his face?
Okay, so here's why they say that this is happening, because the very unattractive people were more likely to commit to their job, allowing them to climb the professional ladder more
yes,
effectively
that makes sense.
Than the people who are more attractive along the way. And I do think that the more attractive people probably have a lot more going on socially,
yep.
dates and whatnot.
Yeah, the unattractive people have time on their hands. Mm-hmm. To study, to learn, to work.
Dude,
the attractive people are going to cool parties.
Listen to this idea that may or may not have been stolen from a commenter on Twitch.
Yes.
Why don't we all get plastic surgery to get uglier?
Yeah.
That's the new racket. Or start a company that makes you very unattractive. So sure, you invest $100,000 to become a toad person. But
yeah.
And in the end, you're making $7 million a year.
Like asymmetrical breasts, half a scrotox. Mm-hmm. Maybe take one ear off, shave your eyebrows.
Put the ear just lower. I think put it a lot lower on the jawbone, near the jawbone.
Yeah, we could call it the go in the full Quasimodo. And we just give you the full disfigurement.
Yeah. Now, Danny, is it clear from this study whether people who are very unattractive actually work harder at their job, or there is just a perception that people are looking at the very unattractive and saying they must be hard workers?
It was this study conducted by unattractive people is what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, right? They looked at 20,000 people.
20,000 young people. When do you hit peak unattractiveness? Right before you die.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you still have youth
on
your side.
Up to 29. They went up to 29.
Yeah, but 29, you haven't peaked ugly, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's why I think that.
But that's where the sympathy is the most, because they're like, they should be in the prime of their life and they're a toad.
Okay,
person.
That's true. Yeah.
So you get extra sympathy. When you're 90 million years old, people are like, what did you expect? It's surprising when they're still kind of handsome. And you're like, that is true. But when you're 29 and they're like, I remember when I was 29, I had a six pack. I had everything going for me. I didn't have any lines on my face.
Yes.
And so you have peak societal ugly
right
at 29. Okay. But you have peak physical ugly probably right before you die.
Yeah. I would think so. Unless you're like a really cute old person.
And that makes sense. You're about to enter the career that's going to make you all that money, you know? So 29 is a good age. It's just not, if you're older than 29, like if you're a 45-year-old person hiring a 29-year-old, they don't look that ugly because they do still look young. So I feel like it's flawed.
I have noticed that. I have noticed that when I was in my 20s and I was judging people based solely on their attractiveness, I had much stricter. Now it's like, oh, every like young guy is handsome and every young girl is pretty. And now, and I'm like, I never thought that before. What is happening to me?
Yep.
Like, oh, what a handsome young man.
You're mentally preparing yourself for when you completely fall apart.
Yeah.
Hoping they'll be as generous with their compliments as you are.
Yeah, you're buttering them up. Tyson, now, is this fair that the unattractive are making significantly higher wages than the attractive? Do you feel like that we are preparing to get into a potential backlash where we are going to see the attractive try to band together and demand the same wages as the unattractive at their jobs?
It'll never work. We're too concerned with our prettiness to devote all of our time and energies to bring down the ultra ugly.
I do like how Tyson subtly grouped himself with the incredibly handsomes.
Well,
he's like, we were too busy.
If you tell people enough times, then eventually they'll believe it.
You know what? I also just thought is that with the rise of technology, I think a lot of these ugly people work. This sounds horrible, but maybe the geeks are the ones who have made it so that unattractive people are earning more. You have like I'm not saying Zuckerberg isn't handsome, but like him and Bill Gates.
Well, they're not ultra ugly.
Yeah, they're not ultra ugly.
It's just unattractive, not very unattractive.
But yeah, but we would
agree.
But
that's more of a personality thing, not as.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's no Tom Brady is what I'm saying, right? But the other thing is, how do you label someone? I'd like to see pictures of the people they considered unattractive, because that's the biggest problem with this study.
Hmm.
Is we don't know how they what's an objective way of rating attractiveness.
I'm not sure exactly whether they had them do some sort of a self rating or they sent in pictures and then.
Yeah.
We know that the most perfect face on the planet is Denzel Washington's. So
really?
Yeah, that is real.
That's what studies have shown?
Yeah.
No, they're...
Yes. No, that is true. So if we compare their facial build to that of Denzel Washington's and see how much different it is, I think from there is you judge it against the standard.
Supposedly, actually, I have read that your attractiveness is based on how symmetrical your face is.
Yeah.
So I think there is a way for them.
Denzel Washington has the most perfectly
symmetrical
face.
I've never heard about Denzel. I'm not going to argue. He is very handsome. But usually the studies I see. Yeah, he already checks out.
Did you Google it?
No, I didn't look it up. Do you want me to?
I'm pretty certain I've read that before.
Okay. All right. Well,
Is Denzel the most handsome?
Symmetrical. And then your wife is like,
Washington, symmetrical face. Okay. All right. There's a video. Five things you didn't know about. That Denzel
His beauty
Washington-
is scientifically, look at that one.
Yes. I mean, I don't know how reputable this site is. I'm on Denzel Washington, the amazing.
Yeah, that. No, that is not. That's not going to work.
I mean, I don't know if this is a fake news site, but according to Denzel Washington, the amazing slash live feed slash blogspot .com. In 1996, Denzel Washington was named the sexiest man alive by People magazine. However, even before this, people knew about his beauty due to science. In the early 1990s, Newsweek used Denzel Washington as their primary example as perfection for beauty, according to the symmetry. According to the article, biological basis for the perception of beauty, symmetry in one's face is what makes them attractive. And Denzel Washington has it all: perfectly aligned eyes, a centered nose and lips, an even hairline and ears,
and a handsome brooding face.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what else is going on here on Denzel Washington, the amazing impact he made on society?
See, so now story checks out, guys.
Is this going to turn into Denzel AF
site? Is it?
Yeah, that's my
website.
Site. Yes, and I just got paid because you visited it. No, that's not my website.
It's that amazing that Tyson remembered that from the 90s. That really stuck with you, Tyson, that article.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
I have the memory of an elephant, dude.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, listen to this.
Steel trap.
Despite his beauty, Denzel is not a ladies' man.
Hmm.
Yeah. That according to this Denzel Washington.
Rob, we have a podcast to get back to.
Sorry, I get so distracted here.
Down the wormhole.
I know, you're distracted by his beautiful face. It happens all the time.
Okay.
So maybe we're wrong about being ultra ugly. Maybe we got to all look like Denzel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Denzel has made some money, but he's also very talented, too. Mm-hmm. He's been able to overcome his facial symmetry.
Yeah. Yeah. He, no matter how beautiful he was, he still kept fighting to make that money.
He's a rare person with a symmetrical face and a really strong work ethic.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get into our next story. And this one is pretty crazy. Danny, I hope that you can make some sense of this one for me. This feels very bolt-holy about how artificial intelligence has grown 6 billion cockroaches in China. Danny, why is this happening?
Well, it's if you're a tourist and you're going to China,
don't bring an apple. No, number one.
You want the real Chinese experience. That involves roaches. But with the advance of pesticides and all of that, the roach experience is slowly going away in China. So to ensure that it doesn't, to ensure that if you go to China, you have the legitimate Chinese experience, they're growing the roaches in factories and then probably distributing them by plane so that tourists are like, oh yeah, there's a roach. I'm in China. This is the Chinese. Go to the Great Wall, see a roach at a restaurant. It's the Chinese experience.
So it's not chemtrails at all. It's roach drops.
Yeah, it's roach droppings because they've just been so successful in getting rid of roaches in China.
Rob, I read this story.
Yes.
So if we want to stop passing along false information, hilarious information. The AI part is not that impressive.
Okay.
It's just controlling the temperature of their environment, how much they eat, what they eat, getting rid of genetic mutations, etc. So it is, I mean, it's like a nest. They're probably using like a nest or something to control in that. They grind the roaches up to make a healing potion that cures elements like stomach aches, which it says right in the headlines there, which is crazy. Can you imagine going and getting a like roach powder? I always thought roaches, and forgive me if people are sensitive to this, but I mean, it is definitely better than the rhino horns that they were using. And maybe there's people that are like, oh, a life is a life. So whether it's a cockroach or a rhinoceros, I can tell you, I would much rather have a rhinoceros living under my refrigerator than a cockroach.
Insects are the food of the future, too.
Yeah, so they definitely are.
There are lots of places.
But that cockroaches.
Yeah.
But cockroaches, Danny, they eat garbage and stuff. These ones probably don't, because the AI is probably feeding them like probably
muesli,
organic muesli and corn.
Mm-hmm. Corn, naturally. Corn and beer, just to increase the flavor of the cockroach.
So these say that they're when they crush them, it's kind of a slightly fishy smell.
Yeah. Mm.
And the taste,
I can smell it
is
right now,
slightly sweet.
Oh, well, that sounds
very,
good.
Very sweet.
Tyson, is the thought here where people always say, oh, that's, you know, that person is like a cockroach, they can survive anything. Is that what we're trying to encapsulate here? The longevity and survival of the cockroach? And then if we ingest that we too will be indestructible and can survive anything?
No, not at all.
No.
No, it's just it just cures stomach aches.
How bad are the stomach aches that you're
in China? Probably pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad. Bad.
Yeah, Danny lived in China for a while.
Chinese level stomach aches. Those are pretty bad.
Yeah,
I had explosive diarrhea several times in China.
So, would you have taken cockroach powder to cure those?
Yeah, it's just a powder. I can pretend that powder is anything.
It's powder encapsulated, so I think you just take the capsule.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah, of course.
It's just another placebo. They're like, what's the cheapest placebo we could make? Ground up cockroaches cost nothing.
You eat cockroaches all the time, probably. It's probably in all of your food already.
Danny, nobody wants to hear this.
Nobody wants to hear it, but it's probably really the case. You're eating cockroaches all the time. Let's just
even when you sleep with your mouth open.
Yeah, they're just crawling in. So let's just skip the middleman and get the cockroach delivered right to our doorstep.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. They said in the article that if these 6 billion cockroaches were for somehow to get out of the facility, it would be devastating to the surrounding area.
Yeah.
They need some kind of panic button.
It would be a catastrophe.
They hit the button and it goes Chernobyl.
It would be like a modern day Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Right. Boy. Should that be the next big budget disaster movie starring The Rock, where he's like a scientist that's working at the Chinese lab?
Yeah, by the producers of Saw.
Right. And then somebody gets in and they release all of the cockroaches, and then some of them mutate into giant cockroaches.
Oh, we need them to mutate. I think just them like crawling into every bodily orifice is probably enough of a terror.
You don't want to see The Rock fighting like a giant cockroach?
I want to see him fighting
10,000 small ones.
10,000 small ones that are like all joined together like Voltron.
Yeah, that actually is a good idea. They form a body.
They form a giant cockroach man.
Exactly. Good idea, Tyson.
Yes. Danny, is The Rock fighting the cockroaches, or he's the one person that understands the cockroaches?
He's the only one that can fight them because he understands them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what makes him so unique, is he's sensitive but also a badass.
Yeah. Wow, this
and
could
here's
be
the,
a huge blockbuster.
Here's the very end, here's part of the end of the movie. The cockroach giant like Voltron thing goes in, the Rock punches it under the jaw, it explodes into a cloud of individual cockroaches, and you think it's over, and like there's that music where it plays us out of the scene a little bit, and there's the relief of it finally being over, but they're all just individual cockroaches that can come back together. And as he's walking away like it's done, you see the cockroaches start joining together.
Reassemble.
End of the movie, not down to the sequel. Yeah. This could be the next big franchise.
Starring 2019, Cockroach
versus the Cockroach.
Mr. Cockroach.
Yeah. I mean, the only problem is it's not based off of an existing TV show or movie or video game. So that's what...
That we know of here, but in the
Let's
in
draw
the
a
East,
comic.
In Asia,
let's make a comic book
about this.
You think a video game?
Make the video game first, and then they'll make the movie.
Oh, and then we could invent the video game. Then we could stream us playing the video game on Twitch, drawing more viewers to News AF.
Everybody and then wins.
Make a movie.
Yeah.
Do we have anybody ugly enough to devote all of their time to make this happen?
No, all of the very unattractive people are busy at their jobs. We yep. need
the cockroach
to find somebody,
plant.
We need to find somebody who's just unattractive.
Average.
And then like throw acid in their face.
Whoa.
You know, I do not condone assault here, Rob. We take him to a plastic surgeon.
Like a little, like
just
a
no,
pH,
I think he,
pH
no, you
like
let
three.
Him grow a mustache. Yeah. That'll be enough.
Have him grow a mustache.
Yeah.
Very unattractive with a bad mustache.
Yes.
But not like ironically bad, like a hipster.
No, he really likes the mustache.
It's really bad.
Covers up his weaker upper lip.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. I think this is a good idea. This is a good idea. Better or worse than last week's movie idea, Danny?
Oh, way better.
Yeah.
This is a villain that everyone can appreciate.
Yeah, this could do easily $1 billion at the box office.
Globally, yep.
Yeah. Because it has universal appeal.
Could we get Universal to pick it up?
Maybe.
Yes. And then we'd have our own ride at Universal Studios and everything.
You ride a cockroach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, like the seat is like made of like a million cockroaches.
And at the end of the ride, you get a vial of powdered cockroach.
Yeah.
Mm. I think you have to powder your own cockroaches through the ride with lasers. Like the Buzz Lightyear ride at Disneyland.
Yeah. I've never ridden that, but I can imagine shooting lasers from a ride. Mm-hmm. That sounds safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, go to the Buzz Lightyear one.
All right. Well, we got one more story before we get to Danny's bolt hole. Let me bring it up here. We want to talk about there is a story about a woman who was playing the video game Pokemon Go, and as she was playing Pokemon Go, she found a man who was missing, who is suffering from dementia. And I think the most amazing part of this story, Tyson, is that somebody is still playing Pokemon Go.
That's incredible.
I knew that's why you brought up this story. It had nothing to do with the rescue. It had everything to do with Pokemon.
Yeah, I had not heard that, but that is crazy. But still, Pokemon Go is saving as many lives as it's destroying.
It's done destroying. Now it's just saving.
Now it's just saving lives?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. This is truly a amazing story from this woman that found the man with dementia in the park. That the story goes that she saw the man with dementia, and then she got out her Pokeballs and was able to capture him and
bring him in,
put him in her pocket, and then
wait. Did she capture the guy? Are we talking about the guy or a Pokemon character?
The guy.
Okay. All right. Was he playing Pokemon too?
Yeah, that's how they knew he had dementia.
He thought it was 2016.
Yeah.
Actually, video games do help fight, by the way, a serious note, dementia. They have, there's some science to back that. I'm sure it wasn't funded by video games.
Yeah. So is that what you think that's how he ended up in the park? He was playing
Could
Pokemon
be.
Go?
Yeah. Exactly. He was out there fighting dementia, got lost.
The park was a popular pokey stop.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a gym or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how a story can have so much energy behind it and seriously fizzle out in, what, under a month? And then almost a year later be completely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the summer of 2016.
Was it a summer? I felt like it was really strong for a short time.
No, it was the full summer.
Okay, yeah. All right. And now it's nothing. It's out there maybe catching strays.
Yeah. Well, this woman saved the man's life.
Are we sure people have dementia or they're just not able to keep up on all the new trends?
Yeah, you think that
that's a fine line.
Yeah, like my grandma, she always seemed crazy, but I just think the fact that she was trapped 50 years ago was why she was crazy. She just gave up, right? Like Pokemon would have just bewildered her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Let's hope that we don't go that way. I hope we won't, but I think that really old people, they just don't know what's going on because everything is changing so quickly. They just mentally give up. Like, you know, I'm just going to live in the 90s. That was the last moment I could remember. It wasn't absolutely insane.
That wasn't painful to just think about.
Yeah. All right. So very happy to hear that, this nice man is back with his family. And no,
yeah, I just hope this wasn't staged by Pokemon to become relevant again.
You think so?
No, that's the I know it's big not
Pokey,
what it is.
You think Big Pokemon? Big
Pokey. Yeah, Big Pokey was out there.
Yeah. Well, it used to be we would come up with all these stories about like, another person playing Pokemon Go has found a dead body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or has at least themselves this one has a fallen ending. And died.
This is the
or
first been stabbed. Time anybody alive has been found playing Pokemon
or
Go.
Have been led to a van and assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. This is a good story. Let's latch on to that.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman does look like she still plays Pokemon Go.
Yes.
If we're being honest.
Yes. She's going to catch them all. She's
so
very dedicated.
I do believe that this story is true.
Yeah. Okay. When she found him, she said to him, do you know you're in Kentucky?
Really?
Yeah, narrow it
she
down.
She didn't say, did you catch that Bulbasaur?
That is what she said first, but not, she's not going to tell the news that.
Hey, have you seen the Bulbasaur? It's around here somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's like, I'm not in Kentucky. And she's like, oh, no, you are.
And there is a Bulbasaur right next to us. Can
somewhere.
You get your phone out?
Yeah, get your phone out.
Yeah, it's weird because he's from Ohio, so I don't know necessarily how she knew he was from a different state.
Kentuckians can tell when you're not from Kentucky.
You're not supposed to be here. You're from Ohio, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. You're not from around these parts, are you?
No. Okay. All right. Danny, can you get ready to indulge us by taking us into your bolt hole? Let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at LaCroix Sparkling Water. You can enjoy LaCroix Sparkling Water, a calorie sweetener and sodium innocent beverage with nothing artificial anytime. Make the switch to LaCroix Sparkling Water, a healthier alternative for you and your lifestyle, because they've got no calories, they've got no sweeteners, no sodium here. It's just innocent with all natural, environmentally friendly, and flavored with fruit essences. 14 LaCroix flavors: key lime, tangerine, mango, apricot, passion fruit. Those are the new ones. Peach, pear, coconut, lemon, limeberry, cran, raspberry, orange, grapefruit, and pure. Then they've got the LaCroix Karate flavors. What? Yes, this is when they blend two different flavors together, like pineapple, strawberry, appleberry, cherry lime, kiwi watermelon, blackberry cucumber, and cantaloupe pink grapefruit. LaCroix Karate has a bolder flavor. With LaCroix Sparkling Water and LaCroix Karate Sparkling Water, you know it's gluten-free, vegan, and non-GMO. And LaCroix Sparkling Water and LaCroix Karate Sparkling Water are both available nationwide, whether you're in Ohio, whether you're in Kentucky, wherever you're playing Pokemon and it takes you, you know you can find some LaCroix Sparkling Water nearby. For more information, join the LaCroix community on social media at LaCroix Water, or check them out at LaCroixWater.com for a full list of retailers. Go to LaCroixWater.com. All right, Danny, are you ready to take us away?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Here we go, everybody. Let's talk Bolt Hole. Yeah.
Love that.
That's how I start my morning. Every morning when I wake up, that's my alarm clock.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, right? She's like, that makes you even more handsome. Maybe today you'll be either successful and you'll be less average. Or in average.
Is that song available on iTunes or anything like that? That is good.
Better than a cup of coffee. or a cocaine enema.
Yeah, which those two things are both equal, and those
you take them
better.
Simultaneously.
Tell me more about this cocaine enema.
Yeah,
I'll send
doing
you some
the trick
links.
For me anymore.
No, you gotta take some speed. All right, guys, this is a great story. Now, you guys know what the Turing test is. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes, that's how you can tell if two female characters in a movie don't talk about a romantic interest.
Wrong.
No.
It's where a robot is basically able to trick a human into thinking that it's 5 years old, I think, or older. I could be wrong about that.
Okay.
And it's an important test. It's a milestone that scientists have been trying to reach. We saw Flippy, who flipped hamburgers. Sure. That was a productive
it's
robot.
Not fooling any 5 year old.
Yeah, not even a 5 year old is going to be fooled. But finally, robot technology has seized upon an idea that I think is the greatest advancement in robot technology ever. And that is a robot successfully assembled an IKEA chair.
Wow. Now that's something.
Now that is something because remember, IKEA makes furniture that actually destroys marriages.
Yeah. It's impossible.
They have a piece that's actually called like something like the relationship destroyer.
is that true?
It is true.
Sweetest word for that, I think.
Yeah, so to have a robot that can do this is just huge. That's better than vacuuming your hardwood floors or mowing your lawn. If it can assemble that stupid furniture, that is just, that's a leap forward.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to read to you an excerpt from one of the people who was involved in this study or research or whatever. And he says, it took a few attempts to get it right early on. The robots dropped wooden pins, let go of parts too soon, and performed moves that did more to dismantle the chair than assemble it. Some moves required a part to be held by both robots at the same time. And since industrial robots are too strong, a number of mistakes ended badly. We bought 4 chair kits and broke a few of them. That sounds exactly like a human experience.
Yeah. Like, 2 robots working on it at the same time, only making it worse.
Worse, breaking chairs. That is the, like, I'm convinced that 2 adults.
They're humans.
These robots are humans.
You think because that these are humans because of the mistakes they've made.
If the robots had been perfect, then we would know that they were robots. That's like having the dog in Terminator that barks at you when you come through the door.
So we're not judging what makes a human based on their perfection, but rather their imperfection.
Right.
Yeah. And if you want to build a robot that is lifelike or human-like, this is the best way to do it. That is just breaking chairs, dropping bolts, and then probably as we
yelling at the other one and slapping them across the face.
Fighting. And then the next step is they Uber a robot car back to IKEA and return all the furniture with and get some Swedish meatballs, naturally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was just, this is an advancement I can cheer for, because whenever my wife brings home furniture, I consider just walking away,
right?
Just never returning, because it is such a pain to assemble that crap.
And what about when Liz is always like, well, I wish I would have married a robot. At least then it would be perfect. Now you can be like, nope, they're not, Liz. Look at how many mistakes these robots have made.
And by the way, sometimes she says that she feels like she did marry a robot.
Oh,
because of your,
but not in a good way.
No, not in
your
a good
emotional
way.
Unavailability.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So she's got the worst part of the robot without the best part, which is chair assembly.
The worst part of humans.
Yes.
She has not like, win. If the worst human mated with the worst robot, Danny would be the offspring.
Yeah. By the way, the assembly time for the robots was 20 minutes, which is about 5 to 10 minutes slower than a typical human. Now, I'm looking at these chairs right now, and I'm telling you that those chairs would take me at least an hour and a half to assemble.
Now, Danny, did IKEA make this robot, or did somebody else make a robot to put together IKEA furniture?
These are some roboticists, if that's the term, in Singapore.
Okay.
I'm certain that's not the term.
Does the robot is it programmed to just put together that one chair, or can it like look at the instructions and then put together any piece of IKEA furniture?
Just this chair. These robots are doing the
not
Lord's
very
work
useful.
Here.
A one
no,
hit wonder.
No, but look, this is where you start. Baby steps in robotics, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
First, you teach.
I
them
want
to
my
love.
Robot to do everything.
all at once right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. That's what I want, but that's not the reality. The reality is they have to build the world one chair at a time.
Yeah. Okay. Frappuccino in the Twitch chat says, don't make the robot too ugly, though, because then it will make too much money just putting the furniture together.
That's true. What is the physical characteristics? Are robots attractive? Oh. We saw one
Some
2 weeks ago that was terrifying.
Tyson has seen are very attractive.
Yeah. The latex covered ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. Now,
these robots aren't ugly.
Now, but we've talked about in this episode, this study about how the very unattractive are making all this money because they're so much more dedicated to their job than the attractive. But are we about to see a major paradigm shift here where the fault lines are about to shift as we get to the point where the very attractive then, or the very unattractive are going to be able to afford the most attractive husbands and wives of the robotic variety, and then we'll have those same distractions pulling them away from their work?
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying.
There'll be a whole end around here where now that's going to be the advantage that the attractive have been waiting for in the workplace.
They'll be the only ones who can afford the most beautiful models. You know who really suffers in this world of ours is the average guy.
Yeah.
The poor average guy. He's got nothing. You know, he might as well consider being the first to join the Mars colony.
Mm-hmm. He's just not go on somewhere either else. Extreme.
Yep, he's just there. He's like lukewarm water.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
but maybe by the extreme factions battling, the average man who wins out in the end.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And or the robots.
The average person could also, you know, let them go to the point that they get, eventually
That's true.
Unattractive and then very unattractive.
If they're willing to commit, right? They can do.
But they don't have that hard work ethic. That's how they got to average.
The great conundrum.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. What came first?
What are you gonna do? Okay.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. I just like
robots becoming more human with their mistakes.
Yeah, with their mistakes. That's the thing. The more mistakes they make, the more human they are.
They become
like us all. Okay.
Until eventually you're like, they look just like us, and you're trying to discern who's a robot by how perfect they are, but they are now programmed to make mistakes, and you're like, that can't be a robot. It's too imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never know.
Yeah. All right. Well, what a great Monday edition of News AF. We've covered so much ground here today. Let's start to talk about the hashtag for this episode. Danny, do you have any thoughts?
Danny got crawled.
I feel like we always hear several, right? And we all make mental notes. Normally you write them down, don't you, Rob?
Yes.
Nothing today?
Well, I like Danny got crawled. I also asked the chat, which is, you know, a little bit behind in terms of Pokemon Go lives on forever. That's from Liquify. Liquify.
Yeah, Liquify.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd prefer something shorter. I always like the short ones.
Yeah, well, that's ideal, but I don't know if we have it today. So we'll hear. Let's see. Tyson Taiwanese Pro.
It's a form of poker that is now gaining popularity among the poker players.
Okay. What about our movie of The Rock versus the Cockroaches?
Oh, Rock, yeah. Versus... Rock versus Roach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Or Cock versus Rock.
Rock Roach?
I think Cock versus Rock or Rock Cock.
Cock versus Rock.
What about Rock Cock? Rock?
No.
Definitely not.
Yeah. I like Rock versus Roach.
Rock
versus Roach. Yeah, I could see that. Okay. Let's go with that. And then, Tyson, do you have any iTunes reviews ready to go?
I've got some really heartbreaking news, guys.
Oh, no.
We haven't had a new review on iTunes for like 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
I've
lied.
Read every review that we've ever had, probably.
Oh, my God. All right.
I feel average.
Yeah.
I feel really average right now.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So if you want to leave us an iTunes review, I posted it in the Twitch chat. Newsaf.news is the way to do that. And leave us a review anytime. Let us know what you're thinking about the show.
And anywhere.
Yes. And then, of course, over here on Twitch.tv, we'll be back with another edition of News AF coming up this upcoming Tuesday, which I believe is going to be May 1st. And a quick programming note for anybody who's in Bachelor Nation, like Tyson and Danny.
Yep.
Do you guys listen to any Bachelor podcasts?
No, but I watch Bachelor TV show.
Yeah, well, check out Caitlin Bristow over on the podcast1.com. She's got the podcast Off the Vine and Off the Vine Grape Therapy every Tuesday and Thursday on Podcast One. She had an interview with Chris Harrison, sex expert Emily Morse, and much more. Download that podcast at podcast1.com and also on Apple Podcasts. That's Caitlin Bristow, Off the Vine.
Which means she's drinking wine.
Yep, that's what it's all. That's what it's all about. And
is that really what it means? Yes. Off the vine.
I just thought,
like, off the grapevine.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Great stuff today, guys. Very fun to be twitching with you. We'll hang out here for a couple more minutes on twitch.tv if you are watching the live stream. Otherwise, if you listen to the podcast, thanks so much. Great job, Scott St. Pierre, putting this all together. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.